Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, an hour from now. It is an amazing thing to me where, and I've said this on a couple of occasions throughout the course of the year, that Tom Brady is not having a great year. I've seen him missing passes I'm not used to seeing him miss. Brian Baldinger, former NFL player. Who's he work for now? NFL Network, Fox Sports, does some analysis. He does a film breakdown on his Twitter feed. He's got a 90-second clip of four plays in the final game against the New York Jets. You know, Brady plays offensively.
Yeah, that big game against the Jets.
And, well, he's just showing you some tendencies.
Okay.
As he points out, there was one play where Brady rolls out to the right, and Baldinger's got the all-22 going here. And you see Gronk leak out to the left, mm-hmm. into the end zone. He is all alone. He's got his arm up in the air. He is completely by himself. And as Baldinger points out, all he has to do is look there.
Right.
As Baldinger says it, he says, put some helium in the ball. Just float it out there.
Well, let's not get into that.
There is no jet near the play, okay? Just lob it out there. He never looks.
Yeah, he's
and he just throws the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
He just you know, grounds it, gets it out of there. That's happened a lot this year, where you're seeing him. It's like the first read is, okay, he's covered. I'm throwing
so
it into the ground.
Doesn't that fly into the face of the argument that, oh, the guys around him suck? Like, and I'm not saying that's not a part of it, because it is. Like, I do agree with that. Like, he doesn't have the best playmakers around him. But Gronk's an example. How many times this year was Chris Hogan wide open?
Well, and these plays that Baldinger's showing, the next play he shows is the miss in the end zone of Hogan. He's completely alone.
Yeah.
Brady overthrows him by like 12 feet.
But not only those times, I'm talking about the times that Hogan was wide open and didn't get thrown to.
Right.
So that's not about the guy. That's like saying, oh, well, the reason why, you know, his numbers are down is because, you know, guys aren't getting open for him. Well, those guys are open and he missed them. And I think part of that is age. I think, you know, your decision making starts to maybe slow down a little bit. Maybe it's not as sharp as it was before, and just slightly. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing a little bit this year. He's still a guy you can win with. He's still very good. But again, when you're coming from the MVP level, it's really can only go one way, and that's what we've seen.
And it's okay to say that his numbers are down this year. It's okay to look at things realistically. I mean, forget about Breeze and you know, Mahomes. Their numbers dwarf Brady's numbers this year. I mean, it's just not even close.
Right.
Even Philip Rivers, you know, somebody on the text machine says, oh, come on, Rivers is only better in a couple of things. And look, there's not huge differences. But he's better in virtually every single department.
Right.
He's thrown for more yards. Not by a lot, but more. He's thrown for a better completion percentage. Not by a lot, but better. His quarterback rating is better. His touchdown passes are better. It's okay. And that's not to say, well, if I had one game to win, I'd take Rivers over Brady. No, I'm not saying that at all.
No.
I'm saying if I just look at it and try to be somewhat objective, Rivers has had a better year than Brady. He just has.
Yeah, he definitely has.
So and it's okay to say that. And when you look at it and you try to be realistic, you say, is this because Brady's 41 years old and looks like a 41-year-old quarterback? And truthfully, there are times when I think that's the case.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's unwilling to take the hit to make the play now.
And I also think, you know, he's also, and I know he had 11 interceptions and a lot of them were through the hands of receivers. So that number should be down a little bit lower. But
absolutely.
I think he is definitely concerned about throwing picks. He's talked about it before. Like, he doesn't want to do that, so there's less chances to take. So another reason, he's not going to hold on to the ball. Like, a lot of times you see these young guys, whether they get sacked or right before they get sacked, they are holding on to the ball, they're trying to make a play, and they force something. So some of the times that you've seen Tom Brady miss a wide-open receiver is because he's not standing back there all day. Yeah, he doesn't want to get hit, but he also doesn't want to throw a pick. He's not going to go to his fourth read because he doesn't think he has time for it, so he's more likely to throw it away than find somebody that's wide open down the field.
Back to the call, 617-779-7937. David's in Needham. Hey, David.
Hey, Dale and Keith, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love the, I don't know whether you guys enjoy you guys being on the midday, but I certainly love it.
I'm all good.
We're adjusted. It's all good.
Awesome. Hey, I'm going to use the word litmus. I don't know the correct spelling, but in the litmus test.
LITMUS, if you're
Look
if you're
at the brain
later.
On Dale.
Whoa,
spelling B. Arnold over here.
Okay. Yeah,
Well, I'll tell you, I don't really believe there is anything under the litmus test that Brady can't do now that he could do 5 or 7 years ago. And I believe that his effectiveness, that's what we're questioning with reads and whatnot. I mean, I bet you if we went to the film 6 or 7 years ago, sure there were open guys that he missed. I don't see any, let me use another one, a kind of precipitous
spell it, Dale.
Any of his numbers.
Spell it.
What's the spelling? Spelling broad, Dale.
No, that's actually a great way of looking at it, David. Like, what does he do now that he can't do, or what's something that he can't do now that he used to be able to do?
I do think there is one.
Okay, what do you got?
And it's what we were talking about before. He seems unwilling, I won't say unable, but unwilling to go through the progressions. It's like, if the first read isn't
he's getting rid of it a little bit quicker.
I want to get it out of here because I don't want to take a hit here.
That's probably true.
And by the way, I'm not suggesting that he's a chicken bleep. That's not what I mean.
No.
But you're 41 years old. You've played the game a long time. You've taken some big hits.
And by all accounts, the offensive line is good. So it's not an offensive line issue. No offensive line is perfect, but they are good. I think it's some of those nerd stats. They're like the fourth or fifth best offensive line. I think overall this year, you have not seen a lot of problems where you say, well, this guy's screwed. He's running for his life or he's got to get rid of it. So that's not the problem. You know, maybe there are times where his first and second read aren't open, and then he's just kind of flailing away and throwing it away.
Well, the one that I was talking about that Baldinger put on film on his Twitter feed. I mean, Gronk leaks to the end zone. He is alone. He's got his arm up in the air, completely alone.
Yeah, that's bad.
Brady doesn't even look.
Yeah, there's
It's like, I am locked on to, now I think it was James White over on the sideline.
Right.
I am locked on to White. He's covered. I'm throwing the ball into the ground.
Well, then White's another good example of the game against Pittsburgh. Not that they would have won the game, but remember how open James White was? We talked about that all week, and it was like, if you just threw it over to him, he makes a play, and then you have a more realistic chance of scoring on the final play of the game than they did. So, yeah, there have been times where it seems like the open guy is just not getting an opportunity, and that is rare. To the last caller's point, it's definitely happened before.
It's not as rare this year as it's been in the past. In the past, if it happened 5 times in a season, you were shocked.
That was high. Right, I agree.
And I don't know if that is everybody's mental faculties slow down as they get older. He's not reading the defenses as quickly as he has in the past. I have a hard time believing that. I just think it's, I'm going to make sure I protect the ball. I'm not going to turn the ball over. I'm going to make sure that I protect myself. If the play is going to White and he's open, bang, it's there and we're all good. But if he's not open.
Yeah. So another way of looking at it, I guess, could be, so Drew Brees this year had a completion percentage of over 74%. He threw for just under 4,000 yards, which for him is insanely low because they were running the ball more. 32 touchdowns, 5 picks. They had the best record in football. If Tom Brady was on the Saints, how similar do you think the numbers would be? I don't know if they'd be as good.
Well, I don't know the completion percentage.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
That's off the charts.
But could he...
Brees' quarterback rating this year was 115.7.
Yeah, so that led the league.
Brady's was 97.7.
So if Brady played in a dome, if he played with Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas and Mark Ingram and all those other guys down there, how similar do you think the numbers would be? Like, because that really just gets down to, could he do it? Leave all the other excuses out. How good is he as a quarterback? I don't think it would be as good, but I think it would be in the ballpark.
I think you're probably right. Now, Brees only threw 3 more touchdown passes than Brady threw this year, 32 to 29.
Yeah, Brady had him in yard. I mean, they didn't throw it as much.
But Brees only threw 5 interceptions, too.
Yeah.
You know, 32 and 5.
He's too busy completing all of his passes. That's silly. 75% of your passes, like, you don't do that in Madden. Like, that's outrageous, the season that he had. And for him, he's had like multiple 5,000-yard seasons. And so for him to not even crack 4,000 this year shows you a little bit of the shift that the Saints have made.
Mason's on the cell phone. Hey, Mason.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's good. Going on?
Awesome. I'm going to steer away from what my original call where I told Lucy, but hearing what you said, Dale, I really think it is about his brand. I think it's, you know, playing till 43, 44, because he knows he's been getting drilled by the media about how long he's going to play, and he's saying, I feel great, and I can read defenses, and you know what I mean? I think looking at him, I think he's much more of a game manager now than he was, you know, 3-4 years ago. But also, too, he doesn't have the weapons that he was accustomed to, and, you know, he had Cooks last year and Amendola, and he was comfortable with those guys. You know, he has Patterson this year. He's still trying to figure out Dorsett. Hogan's just not on the chart anymore. And Gronk's not the same Gronk that he's been reliable and able to snag the ball up top like he used to. I just really think that it's more of a game managing now and trying to last longer than anything else. We're going to actually see, I think, this game coming up, if he's going to leave it all on the line and say, hey, look, you know what I mean? We're in the playoffs now. You know what I mean? It's no going, you know, it's just going home. You know, win or go home. So
I agree with what you're saying in some respects, Mason. I also have to say in the Brady case here, it's the perfect sports radio topic because there's no right answer. Is his drop-off because he's old? Yes. Is his drop-off because his supporting cast is not as good?
Hard
yes.
To prove any of,
I mean, there is no definitive black and white. No, this is the issue right here.
That's why it's sort of like the cop-out answer, but it's the combination of all of it. You know, because people want to bring up, well, is he as committed? You know, he missed OTAs. Like, okay, add it to the pile. Like, add whatever you want to the pile. Like, all these different things that happened this year, add it all to the mix, and that's why you have a season which was still pretty good. I think another question that you would have is the season that he had, no matter how you feel about it, whether you thought it was just fine, you thought it was horrible, you thought it was in the middle, whatever you thought it was, I never at any point said, man, I hope he's not the quarterback next year.
No.
That never happened. And that would be the Max Kellerman cliff. The last year Peyton Manning was in Denver, you're watching him, you're like, he can't possibly play another game. Like, this has to be.
I have never felt that way about
Brady.
No,
like, you wanted him back, whereas.
I want him next game. I want him next year.
The tight end, several times this year, I said, man, that's probably it. Like, that is it. You're watching
him. Even though your boy's on IR now?
I know. Hollister on IR. Devastating. They're going to have to convince Gronk to play again next year.
That would be the difference.
Because Hollister may never
whether
return.
Hollister was here
yes.
or not.
No, but that's a great example of somebody that you're like, yeah, this is probably it. And you're watching him and you're saying, you know what, you didn't think you would say this, but you could probably get a better tight end than Gronk. Like that's actually out there. Like that's realistic. And with Tom Brady, there's no quarterback who's going to be available that's going to be anywhere near as good as Tom Brady for next year.
I don't think so.
There are guys that are better, but they all are locked up and they're all on other teams. So he's your guy and you're fine with it.
No need to check the time as it's.
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
You called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937.
Is this also saliva?
P-O-D.
Oh, that's right.
Get it
okay.
right.
All right. I had that CD, too.
Could see by your face. A little,
I was
know,
like, wait a minute.
Radio.
We can't escape these guys.
If we got Keith's iPod in there going.
Like, hold on. This is eighth grade Keith. Pretty good stuff.
We're now up to five of the eight head coaching jobs in the NFL have been filled.
By whites.
All of them so far. Just pointing out the facts.
That's what it is.
There are three left. Jets, Cincinnati, Miami. Two of the three.
So two divisional opponents.
We believe there are minority candidates who are supposedly in the running. Miami has got a couple. Brian Flores and the guy from Dallas.
Chris Richard?
Yes.
Yes.
And, of course, we think Hugh
Mike
Jackson
McCarthy.
Is a finalist
oh, yeah, Hugh Jackson
in
right
Cincinnati.
There. So interesting. So these teams didn't wait long. And you think about last year with the Colts and the Lions, for example, having to wait until after the Super Bowl. So think about that. Another month. These teams are already agreeing to terms with their teams. And you look at Bruce Arians down in Tampa Bay, already bringing Todd Bowles down there with them. So they're making moves happen. These teams want to get it done as soon as possible. So to interview a coach and have to go through the whole process for another month, you know that teams don't really want to do that. But so, yeah, Josh McDaniels is definitely staying. He said he was yesterday. And then today, Freddie Kitchens is going to remain on with the Browns. They also have let go of Greg Williams. So he's a free agent coach now. If anybody wants Greg Williams.
There's no way he could stay there.
Remember when he said, when he had his first press conference with Cleveland, when he was named the interim head coach, and he said that he has had so many offers. He's had 11 different job offers over the time. And you're like, how come he didn't take any of those? How come he didn't take any of those? And I don't think these three teams are going to hire him either. So three jobs left. The Jets, I would say, is the best job. Dolphins, probably slightly better than the Bengals. Bengals is terrible. Terrible job. But so who will be the next two coaches for Bill Belichick to smack around in the division? That's what we remain to see.
All right, back to the call, 617-779-7937. Peter's in JP. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. I think the last two games do mean a lot, Celtics. Brad Stevens, he preaches defense and ball movement. And in the last three games, okay, 34 assists against the Timberwolves, against 23, 35 assists against 16 for the Mavericks, 37 assists against 19 for the
Nets.
They haven't done that in, since 2015. That nine players in double figures last night, great defense, and just the 37 assists, just to put it in perspective, Golden State leads the league with 28. So that's, I think they're playing basketball the way Coach Stevens wants them to play. And they look, they're whipping the ball around on offense. Kyrie's playing great defense. He's a facilitator more than a scorer. He only scored 17 points.
But he still led the team, though. Yeah.
Numbers breakdown was a little much for you. We got to get to it.
A lot of assists.
I also feel like he's contradicted himself like five times.
Because this is the Kyrie's same guy. He calls all the time, right?
The guy.
He hates Kyrie? Isn't that the guy who hates Kyrie?
Yeah, he thinks
wants him to shoot less.
But he's saying Kyrie was passing the ball more. He also still led the team in scoring.
Yeah.
He led the team in scoring. So they played the perfect game against the Nets, and he's although the Nets were playing pretty well. But he's led the team in scoring still. So I don't know. It is a big game tonight. I am really excited to see what happens. Pacers are good. Oladipo has their number. So this could be a pretty telling game.
All right, let me just preface this next part by saying, for our listeners in Providence, 103.7.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Thanks for tuning in.
Love all of you.
Yes.
We love the city of Providence.
Yep.
We love our listeners in Providence.
All good.
We
Rhode Island Comic Con was great.
Love for
what all, did you just do?
Pound in my chest.
Oh.
A
what?
Little pound in my heart.
Did you notice
thing.
That? He just pounded his chest
just,
in
just
here?
Just loving all of you down there in Providence. It actually hurt a little bit.
Yeah, you don't do that to yourself. Don't smack
was
your
that the
chest.
Left? Was that left hand?
He just hit himself in the heart three times.
Oh, just
he's the Iron Man.
What are we
twice.
Doing here?
I was trying to get the right sound.
Well, now they're on your side.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Providence.
Unfortunately, not everybody thinks of you, the people of Providence, the fine citizens of Providence, as much as we do. Bart Scott would be an example of somebody who...
Bart Scott
doesn't like the city of Providence. He might not even know the name of the city of Providence.
Oh, let's see about that.
But he doesn't like the city of Providence.
Listen, at first I think you say in Providence, and it's the worst experience
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, you do stay in Providence.
So does the media.
These people are the worst, like...
That's some good Italian
I'm not even
food
saying, they're just
Providence.
Bad people. They're not bad fans, they're bad people. Like, if I saw some people in New Providence, I'd want to punch them in the face. Because I don't
where?
Understand. Listen, it's fine and dandy.
Did he say New Providence?
He did say New Providence, yeah.
Is there a New Providence?
Well, not yet, but there
are
could
they
be.
Trying to spin it that way? Are they
That's
recreating
not, it's
themselves?
Not a thing.
New Providence? So this is our direct competition, although it's also our sister station, right?
Yes.
This is the Midday Showdown with the Fan.
Yeah.
Carlin, Scott, and Maggie.
Yeah,
Maggie Miss Green over
oh,
there.
Yeah, she beat Rossi for the greenest person in the company.
Is she the
That's
one?
That's who she won, yeah.
Yeah. She was handing out the awards.
What?
She won. Miss Green.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
But so Bart Scott's talking about how road teams, when they play the Patriots, you don't stay in Boston, which makes sense because you're super far away.
A lot closer
so you,
there
so
in Providence.
You stay in Providence. And did Maggie say that's where the media stays too?
Yes.
Can't you stay wherever the hell you want as a media member? Stay wherever
well,
you
they,
want.
I think the,
stay in
the,
Foxborough
the
for
The NFL probably has a media hotel
oh, well,
for the
must
playoffs.
Be nice. La-dee-da. Well.
And it's the worst experience
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, you do stay in Providence.
So does the media.
Yeah, no, thanks for confirming. Thanks for confirming. Bart's like, do you know how many years I was in the league? How many times we played the Patriots? I was on the Jets, for God's sakes, and the Ravens. I know. And he's like, yeah, I can confirm that. You do stay in Providence. Thanks for chiming in there, Chris. Very helpful.
Like, if I saw some people in New Providence, I'd want to punch them in the face. Because I don't understand. Listen,
violence, Bart? Physical
Are
violence,
Are we
going
to get
Bart?
Through any of this? Bart? You keep interrupting, Bart.
Oh, you want me just to sit and listen
no,
to
no,
him?
No, he's warming up.
Okay.
But technically, he can't.
I'm fine. We'll sit back and
not,
listen.
He's not going to punch anybody in the face because there is no New Providence.
Well,
I've never heard
point.
Of New Providence.
Well, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
I need Danny to be a fan. But when you start pulling my fire alarm at 3 o'clock in the morning... You outside on the opposing building yelling all night with a microphone. It's like, come on, man.
Well, that's kind of like get a life, isn't
like,
it?
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, you're pulling a fire alarm and the fire department's coming out. If your team needs that much help, then they don't deserve to win, bro. Like, I think they're good enough by themselves. They don't need you doing some idiotic stuff, you know, putting pressure on the fire department and the police department because
for
of
some
your
nonsense.
Team. Yeah, for some stupid stuff, man. Yeah. Every time, like clockwork, 3 o'clock.
It's called a home field advantage, Bart.
I'm kind of with Bart on that one thing. First of all, it's illegal. It's illegal, first of all.
Well, the team's not doing it.
No. He's talking about the fans.
Yeah, but he's criticizing the team. He's like, you guys shouldn't need that.
The Patriots don't need the help. Fans, you don't need to go pull the fire alarm in the hotel at 3 o'clock
in the
morning.
Home field advantage.
I don't.
You got a nice snooze.
I hate to say it, but I'm kind of with Bart on that one.
Of course you're with Bart Scott and Maggie.
On that one.
Not on that one. Nope, that's home field.
That's Miss Green, Maggie, to you.
So he's like, they don't need to do it. Like, well, they've had a pretty good home record. They're 8-0 at home this year.
You think it's just they pull the fire alarm in the hotel in Providence?
Not getting a good snooze the night before a game. Not here. Not on Patriots fans' watch.
Not on my watch.
Nice job.
You're not getting a good sleep.
Find that hotel. Nice job by the Pats fans.
He was talking about on the microphone on the building next to
it. I like that.
I don't know that
one. Some guy on a megaphone?
That's that one I've never heard of.
Yeah, you get a megaphone. Like, attention, Jets. Attention, Jets.
Hey, Bart Scott,
you suck.
Come on.
Pretty good stuff.
Bart, come on out.
I know you're awake, Bart. I know you're awake. That's all you got to do. Screaming. They're probably let it happen. It's fine. 3 a.m. No big deal. Fire alarm. Come on. It's gamesmanship.
Bart wants to punch you in the face.
I feel like that's also an illegal act.
I believe that is assault and battery.
Two rights don't make a wrong. Or what?
Huh?
Well, let me have that one back.
Hold on.
But so that's he's upset. So he hates think about all the places in the league that you have to travel to.
Like, if I saw some people in New Providence, I'd want to punch them in the face.
Okay. So Providence is the worst place to go?
And think about all the cities. The people in it are the worst.
Isn't, like, Buffalo and Detroit still trips?
I have some.
Not to besmirch all of these great cities, but Providence is the worst?
I have some news for Bart. If we could get a hold of Bart and maybe, you know.
Bart's busy right now. He's on the air.
He's getting ready for Francesa. I just wanted to let him know that if he really has had issues in New Providence, it's because he was in New Jersey.
Oh, New Providence, New Jersey. Well, that
New
could
Providence
probably, probably
is in Morris County in New Jersey, and those people, I mean, they are wild,
that's
man.
That's probably
a bad
scene.
You have no idea what they're going to do at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Maybe that's where he was.
New Providence is also an island in the Bahamas.
That would be better.
Yeah.
We could go for that.
Maybe that's where he was talking about. Maybe that's why he got it confused in his most recent vacation. So I say go for it. Let the Chargers have it.
Why not?
Yeah. Good. More of that. Fine.
That's just not the world's best imitation of the fire alarm, but
he tried. He was on a roll there. He was really
fired
up. And
he was sleepy when it went off.
I guess.
I don't want to.
But he was on that team that beat the Patriots, though. So obviously that 3 a.m. call didn't affect him that year.
That's what happened.
On the fire.
Maybe they were motivated.
Nobody got out there to pull that fire alarm at 3 o'clock in the morning that year.
They were upset. He didn't mind.
On the fire department and the police department. Because
for
of
some
your
nonsense.
Team. Yeah, for some stupid stuff, man. Yeah. Every time, like clockwork, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. It's like setting an alarm. Early alarm. Early bird gets the worm. Ever hear that? I don't see what's so wrong with that.
Well, let me just reiterate how much Keith and I love the people of Providence.
I have no problem with Providence.
We love you guys.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Wake those guys up.
103.7 is a great radio station.
Mm-hmm. One of the best.
Of course, it's also a sister station of our station that Bart's on.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't care about that so much.
No, not really. No.
Like, if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl, if that happens again, and we go to Atlanta.
Don't love the chances.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Would we have to be, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of Bart and Maggie and.
Well, would they go again?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Bart picking fights with Patriots fans on Media Row.
Wasn't that the show that had a guest every 5 minutes?
Every segment.
Oh, yeah.
Single.
And some of them had two.
Right, so, they doubled them up. Because we were sitting next to him, too.
I was right next to him.
The tweet was really funny that it was like every single guest. But then it was also just like nonstop. Just like this person gets up, this person sits down.
We had WIP directly next to us.
Those guys were great, by the way.
They were very nice.
Marks and Reese, those guys were awesome.
Oh, yeah, we did the simulcast with them. That was fun.
Those guys were great.
Those guys.
The New York guys was just a guest bonanza, though. It was just nonstop.
14 guests per day. And there's 12 segments, just in case anyone was wondering.
It's a three-hour show, too, isn't it? Don't they have one less hour? Or maybe not then.
No, at that time.
Francesa wasn't back yet.
Stephen A. was beside us a lot of the time there at Radio Row in Minneapolis, glaring at us the whole time.
He did not want to come on the show.
No, on any of the shows on the radio station.
That may have changed.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well.
The Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
Obviously, the Chargers, really impressive football team. Spent a lot of time watching them the last three or four days here, and really pretty good at everything. That's the reason they won 13 games. So, well coached, very disciplined. Again, outstanding in every area. They make big plays, play good defense. Got an explosive group, strong in the kicking game, and it's a challenge on every play. So, we're going to have to do a good job all the way around. There's no one. One guy who's going to be able to stop them or block all of them or cover kicks or anything else. We're gonna need a good team effort from all the units, all players, coaching staff, everybody, and go out there and be ready to compete on Sunday afternoon. But it's a good football team, and a lot of respect for their coaching staff, their players, the team, the way they play, and what they've accomplished this year. So be a big challenge for us.
Shocking Bill Belichick talking up the opponent before a big playoff game.
Yep. Par for the course. But that's this time
exactly
it's real.
How he plays.
Like other times.
Oh, no, they're really good.
Like when he said
they're
that.
They're 12-4 this year.
Yeah,
the only
exactly.
reason they didn't win the division is that they were in the division with the Chiefs.
Right, exactly.
They lost the tiebreaker to the Chiefs.
Because they split with them head to head, but whatever the next tiebreaker was, they obviously
right.
didn't have. But. And then that win against Baltimore was impressive. Even though the Ravens got back into the game, they were really dominating it for a while. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson all of a sudden woke up, or, you know, the Chargers were playing back and allowed them to get into the game. But the Chargers are really good. So in years past, when Belichick has had to have the same kind of press conference and talk up the Titans, you're like, nah, I don't think you
yeah.
really think this.
When
or talk
about
up the,
how important the punter is.
And, yeah, you're like, okay, you're grasping at it. But now he could look at major positions on the other team, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, defensive ends, cornerback, safety. Like they have a lot of stud players, so he's not lying this year.
Now, we just spent a moment, and we'll get right back to the calls with you guys. We just spent a moment or two defending the fine people of Providence.
We did.
Who we love, and we like to think they like us, too.
Well,
imagine my surprise when I see on the text line here, it says, Keith did bash our beer, though, on the Dork podcast. Did you bash Providence beer?
What's Providence beer?
I don't know.
Now, on the Dork podcast, we had a very successful New England beers episode, and I said Vermont, Massachusetts, and Maine are all doing a lot better than New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. And
that sounds like bashing to me.
Yeah, but it's not specifically Providence. I just think the other three states are doing significantly better, and it's just the truth. So I'm sorry if it's hard to hear. There's good stuff there. There's good. You can find good stuff in every state, but there's more of it in Vermont, Maine, and Massachusetts.
Okay, so you didn't trash Providence
no,
on the Dork podcast.
I had a great. In fact, we had a couple of trips to Rhode Island Comic Con for the Dork podcast, and they went over very well. I loved it down there. It's a good time.
Is that where the Danganronpa lady
it was? That's exactly where she was. Yes, it was one of her favorite cons. She was walking around the streets of Providence that day, having a nice time.
Full regalia.
Yes, you're like Lydia Dietz from Beetlejuice. She was having a great time.
Nothing wrong with that.
That place was banged. There's more weirdos per foot in that place than you could find anywhere else.
And you meant that in a loving way.
I was one of them. I thought it was a great time.
Rob's, I should say, in Pawtucket. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's going on?
So I wanted to talk about Bart Scott's comments about Providence. I live up in Pawtucket, and I think he got confused with the New Providence. New Providence is a city in New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
he's thinking
Bart
of Jets
Scott,
fans.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, which it would make sense for him to live in New Jersey when he was playing for the Jets, but he was born in Detroit, so I think he loses any sort of credibility to be able to talk about anywhere else in the country, because even the nice parts of Michigan are terrible. Then he goes to New Jersey.
Well, wait a minute. What's the difference between what Bart's doing and what you're doing?
Nothing. Just giving him a little taste of his own medicine there. That's fine.
A little bit. And he moves to an absolute cesspool of New Jersey. And I know it's a cesspool because I'm from New Jersey, just like Rhode Island.
See? Calls him like he sees him. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I love Providence. Some of the best fans in the world here. You know, I'm sad to say that the Paw Sox are moving out to Worcester, but they're still here for a couple more years. It's great fans, great people. You know, I can't go back to New Jersey at this point because I've lived in exile for too long. So,
I lived in New Jersey for 2 years because I was there for two Devil seasons.
The dump.
Well, parts of it are really nice. I mean, down around Newark,
some tricky areas.
I lived up in Bergen County, Mahwah, Oakland, that area. It was very, very nice up there.
Nice.
I mean, parts of it,
there's some tricky areas there.
I never went to New Providence that I know of.
No.
Where they're pulling fire alarms and punching people in the face and stuff.
Well, they want to punch people in the face. Oh. Bart Scott's looking for a fight there if you're pulling fire alarms.
Well, let it go.
Yeah.
Adam's in Portsmouth. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Great.
Hi. So I just want to make a quick point. You guys are saying about the Patriots not having any receivers to throw to and how Hogan wasn't really doing anything this year. I feel like last year he had a great year. He was always open. He had a lot of touchdown catches. This year, I still feel like he's getting separation. He's open, but Brady's just kind of avoiding him for whatever reason. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but last year he had a great year.
Yeah, you know, last year he was hurt a lot, but he was productive while he was out there. He had 5 touchdowns in 9 games last year. This year he played in every game, and he only had 3 touchdowns. And, yeah, there was a lot of times where it seemed like he was open. He was one of the guys that just – his playing time didn't go down when Josh Gordon was playing, but it looked like the targets went significantly down when he was here.
When we were talking earlier about Brady and how he seems to get locked into that first receiver, and my guess is that there are many patterns in which Chris Hogan is not the first option.
All of them.
So he's probably not getting targeted as much because he's not the first option. And how often is Brady getting to the second or third option?
Because even in the times when he's been successful, you go back to the Steelers playoff game a year ago, just wide open. Just wide open all the time. Teams love not covering Chris Hogan for whatever it is. So if Brady...
Well, sometimes you don't have to because Brady misses him by 12 feet in the end zone.
It's really not a bad approach now. But before, even when you know some of the good seasons and good games Hogan had... A lot of times it's just there's so much attention on everybody else that he finds himself open down the field. Then once he catches it and goes, you know, it's hard to catch him.
So back to the whole idea of if we acknowledge, Your Honor, the court stipulates that Tom Brady's numbers are down this year from last year. No one can argue that. And we also will stipulate that there are a variety of reasons at play here. But the primary reason is blank. For me, it's the supporting cast.
For me, yeah, it's specifically Gronk. That's what it is. I mean, because if you go from having an all-pro tight end, you know, 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown type of guy to this version of Gronk, that's going to impact everything. Because I agree he doesn't have the greatest weapons in the world, but I also think at times it's been a little, it's gone a little overboard onto how bad they are. James White is as good and reliable a pass-catching back as they have had, and they've had great ones. Falk and Vereen, they've had guys they can throw to. James White's season that he had this year is as good as any of them. Sony Michel, solid running back. Not great, not bad, solid. Julian Edelman should be an upgrade over Danny Amendola from a year ago. I think that he is. Hogan and Dorsett are both back. And then they had Josh Gordon for 11 games. And he was pretty productive over the course of those 11 games. So it's not like he's working with nothing. But the big difference is Gronk was one of the best players in football, it felt like a year ago, and then this year he's more of an average tight end. And that drop-off alone is going to impact Tom Brady.
We talked about earlier, we talked about him missing throws that we're not used to seeing him miss. Throwing behind guys, missing guys. Even when he's trying to go to a receiver, we talked about the overthrow to Hogan in the end zone in the Jets game. I understand that some of the interceptions were because receivers didn't hold on to the ball, but I wonder if we went back through all 12 of them this year, would we say, okay, Julian Edelman didn't hold on to that, but look where the ball was thrown. You know, he wasn't supposed to be catching it there anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure they weren't.
Do we apportion the blame and say, well, if Brady had thrown the ball better there.
Yeah, I'm sure they weren't all pinpoint, but there were definitely a few that I remember specifically just right in the hands. Like, should have been a catch. Maybe should have led him a little bit more, but regardless.
Doesn't it seem like drops, especially for Edelman this year?
Edelman were real high.
Drops have been. Yeah. I mean, he was among the league leaders in drops
at
one point.
And a lot of people have said that is related to the knee injury. And coming back from the knee injury, you know, Wes Welker, I think when he came back, there were some drops. And a lot of players, even though it might look like physically they're pretty close to what they were before the injury, there's difference, and maybe your mind, you're thinking about your knee a little bit when you're cutting and when you're running, and now all of a sudden you lose concentration and you end up dropping a lot of passes.
By the way, a quick correct.
And I believe that he is.
He might be.
Who's to say?
You're not going to lose Brian Flores either. According to Alex Marvez, Chris Richard will come away with the top job in Miami.
Okay. So that would be...
So that means Tommy Curran right again.
bringing back all the assistant coaches.
I heard you last Sunday on the award-winning NFL Sunday.
Yep, we asked him.
Ask Tom E., is it more likely that the Patriots coordinators, that you have one come back, two come back, or none come back? He said both are coming back.
So another young guy, Chris Richards, only 39 years old.
Defensive back coach,
defensive
by the
side.
Way.
Is a black coach, so we were wondering if it was going to end up going into the year with just two black head coaches in the NFL. So right now, three with two jobs to go. It seems like Mike McCarthy to the Jets makes a lot of sense, so it's just the Bengals. And then Hugh Jackson's been linked there, but we'll see what else they do. So there's a chance for as few as three and at most four, it feels like, right now. But so back-to-back defensive coaches, because Vic Fangio from the Chicago Bears, their defensive coordinator, going to the Broncos. So after all offensive guys to start the flurry of activity, Matt LaFleur, Cliff Kingsbury, Bruce Arians, who was the most recent one? Whoever it was. All offensive guys, and now a little bit of a swing the other way.
Yeah,
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. Now, this is supposedly going to take place by the end of the week. They have one more interview they're going to do. It is an in-house assistant head coach, Darren Rizzi. So they're going to do that. Then they're going to name, according to Alex Marvez, likely going to name Chris Richard, the guy. They do put a proviso on that. That is assuming that John Harbaugh doesn't sign an extension with Baltimore, at which point, reportedly, you know, the Dolphins are going to put the full court press on trying to get John Harbaugh down in Miami.
Hmm. So then, okay, interesting. Then they're going to open up another spot. If that would be a huge swing in the AFC East, I'm not wild about Mike McCarthy, but he has won a Super Bowl and he's won a bunch of games. So if Mike McCarthy and John Harbaugh were all of a sudden in the AFC East instead of Adam Gase and Todd Bowles, like, that's a little bit of a boost. And I know some people are down on John Harbaugh for the Jackson Flacco thing this past game, but I think overall John Harbaugh is a pretty damn good coach.
617-779-7937. Jen is in Fitchburg. Hey, Jen.
Hey, how are you?
Great, how are you?
How are you?
Good, good, good. I just want to say I'm a big fan of you guys. I listen to you on my commute every day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I just wanted to put, I was listening earlier this morning and then a little bit this afternoon when I got back in my car, and I know that everyone's down on Brady. I personally am a season ticket holder, a lifelong fan of the Patriots, even when they were horrible. But I think that we're kind of missing how MVP-ish that White and Michelle are. And I think everyone's like, Brady's, you know, the center of the team. But I really think that they're pulling their weight more so than any player on that field this season. And I was just kind of wondering your opinion on that.
I'd put White ahead of Michelle on the list. I kind of agree with Keith's assessment that Sony Michelle's been good, not great.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I think James White's the only offensive player that was better than I expected or was better than even previous year, like had a career year. Like, you couldn't really make an argument. And if you wanted to get into the offensive line thing, fine. I don't know. Maybe Shaq Mason's fine. But the skill guys, the quarterback, everything, they were all kind of down across the board for what they are or what you hope for, with the exception of James White.
And one of the things I heard Wiggy talking about with Mutt and Callahan this morning was, you know, how many skill position players is Brady playing with who are in their prime?
One.
James White. Not that Sony Michel.
I brought that up all season.
Sony Michel is young.
There's
obviously
like three on the entire team. Yeah. One on offense.
Yeah.
And then maybe
Stephon
Flowers and Gilmore on the other side. Like, that's it.
But
that's kind of jarring.
You know, one skill position guy for Brady to play with who's in his prime and, by the way, was great this year.
Right.
He was great. Other than that, you'd say Gronk had a down year. You'd say Edelman, first of all, missed four games because of the suspension. Coming off the knee injury. I understand all that. Had more drops than you'd expect. Chris Hogan seemed to have fallen out of favor with the quarterback for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Cordarrelle Patterson has been okay.
Oh, I guess. You know what? He's better than I thought he was going to be. They used him more.
Right.
And you know what? So he's probably better, but I still am not wild about it. And then you just compare him to, you know, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, right away are two better playmakers to me. And I don't know. Mike Williams can kind of flash here and there. Mike Williams has had his moments. And he was a first-round pick, so they expect more out of him than what he gave him. But he still had, like, 10 touchdowns this year. You know, nobody on the Patriots is doing that outside of James White. I think combined had, like, 12 or whatever it was.
Keith's on the cell phone. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. First of all, Keith, I think the songs that you're looking for from Saliva are Your Disease and Ladies and Gentlemen.
It's Your Disease was absolutely what it was.
And secondly, you said you're a New Hampshire native, and you said New Hampshire doesn't have any good beer. In Manchester, there's Great North. Try their RVP. It's delicious.
I have had it. No, Keith, what I'm saying is those other three states overall have much more. You can find good beer everywhere.
You're right at that. But yeah. Have you had the RVP? It's delicious.
Yes, I have.
Oh, my point.
Who are you talking to?
Of course I have.
Has he had it?
It's great.
My point is, if everything plays out the way it should, Patriots win. Luck, I didn't realize Luck is 2-0 at Arrowhead. If he beats the Chiefs, are you guys nervous about them coming here and playing New England?
Yes, absolutely. They're the hottest team in football.
He's really good. They've been playing great for like 3 months now.
They're hot as a rocket. And that means, like you said, they beat Texas.
They will have gone to Kansas City and won, too.
That's the thing. And like you beat Houston in Houston. Fine. Like, you're not going to throw a parade just yet. But then you beat Kansas City. So now you take that whole end of the season run, those two playoff games. Yeah, that would not be a gimme here in Foxborough.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us in just a little bit. We get back to the calls with you as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.